There are several announcements this morning prior to scripture and sermon. First of all, the Monday evening Old Year's service is at 7 o'clock, not at 6 o'clock as was announced, but rather 7 o'clock. The other announcements have to do with the fact that often I focus upon one thing too much and neglect others, important things. Did that this morning, I recognize, in the congregational prayer. Forgot to pray thanksgiving to God and for grace with regard to Rich and Nell DeMeester and their birth, joyful birth of a child, as well as Austin and Rachel Brower's recent marriage, their wedding. I do encourage you to remember them in your prayers personally, privately, and perhaps we can make mention to Reverend Eric's to pray for them this evening. The second is this. The consistory has brought to my attention a concern which I am thankful to have the opportunity to address. In my recent sermon in question and answer 63, I was bringing out the truth that God in grace rewards our imperfect works. In that immediate context, it would have been better if I had added another clarifying statement. Though it is true that all our works are imperfect, and yet God still graciously rewards them. I inadvertently omitted saying in this immediate context that the basis for that gracious reward, and therefore the reason why we receive that reward of grace, is only the perfect work of Christ. This was emphasized in several other places in the sermon, but I neglected to bring it out in this connection. Also, it would have been good to include at this point in the sermon that our works are, quote, good and acceptable in the sight of God, for as much as they are all sanctified by His grace, end quote, Belgic Confession, Article 24. I want it made unmistakably clear that when we speak of a reward of grace according to and in the way of our imperfect works, we speak of a reward that is ours through Christ and on the basis of His perfect work only, and therefore by grace alone. Now let's turn to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, in the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. But I beseech you the rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now the God of peace, brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation, for I have written a letter unto you in few words. Know ye that our brother Timothy is set at liberty, with whom, if he comes shortly, I will see you. Salute all them that have the rule over you, and all the saints. They of Italy salute you. Grace be with you all. Amen. A particular verse we look at for a few moments is verse 17. Verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Beloved people of God in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord has given us these men who have been installed into office this morning. With the office comes the calling to them. Lead my people. Watch for their souls. With the office and with the calling that God gives to those office bearers, we find a gift given to us. God gives a gift to us in them, a blessing to us, a token of his grace shown to us. Through the office, you understand, through the office, the special office in the church, the Lord is with us. The Lord will lead us. The Lord will himself watch over us. And with this gift of office bearers comes also a calling to us. They have a calling. We spoke of that just a moment ago, but so do we who are not in special office. We too have a calling. The text brings us that calling. Obey, the text says. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. For they watch for your souls as they that must give account. We consider that calling, the calling to us as members of the congregation, those especially who are not in special office, although we'll also consider the calling of the special office bearers, we'll do so under the theme, following our spiritual leaders. Following our spiritual leaders. First of all, the calling. Secondly, the reason. And thirdly, the goal. And bringing us our calling with regard to office bearers, the text does not come to us with a hard and firm tone. Other passages of Scripture, in fact, speak far more firmly to us with regard to our calling to submit to the office bearers. Rather, our text comes to us with a very warm and gentle tone. The words, "them that have the rule over you," is literally, in the first place, can be summarized in the word leaders. Leaders. Not so much is brought to the foreground their ruling, though that's there. They are called to rule. They are called to govern. But the word used here especially puts on the foreground the concept of them as leaders, those who lead God's people. In addition, the words in the text, obey and submit, also are not the normal, the usual Greek terms, words for obey and submit, but they are softer and gentler words. Really can be summarized by the words or the word follow, to follow. And that's where we take the words for our theme, following our spiritual leaders. We'll come more to look more carefully at those words presently. But the text comes then to us with a very warm and gentle tone. Follow your spiritual leaders. That the leaders referred to in the text are spiritual leaders is seen by the word souls. Souls. For they, these leaders, watch for your souls. These are not leaders then in government that are mentioned here who watch over the affairs of the state, but these are leaders in the church, office bearers in the church who watch for redeemed souls, souls that have been bought with the blood of Jesus Christ, are precious to God. They watch for your souls, these spiritual leaders do. The spiritual leaders mentioned refers to elders, pastor, and deacons. We can recognize that when we remember that really there is only one office in the church, as there is one Christ and one anointing of the Spirit into office. So really, fundamentally, there is one office in the church. Elder, pastor, deacon are various forms of that one office, various specializing in various callings that are given, but there is one office. And that implies that there's an equality among the office bearers. The pastor does not stand over the elders or the deacons, but rather there is equality. The elders, though having the calling to rule, the pastor and the deacons, do not stand in some kind of superior office to that of their colleagues in the pastorate or deacons. The men called to special office are equals. And they are leaders, each one of them. The elders are called to lead in the way that they conduct their work. The pastor is called to be a leader in the way that He conducts Himself and His work. And the deacons are called to be leaders as well in the way that they conduct themselves and perform their labors. That they are leaders means, first of all, that they are examples. They're examples. That means then that they need to recognize themselves as examples unto the flock, but also that as members of the flock, we ought to look to them as examples. If we want to find an example of godly leadership, of godliness, we look to the office bearers in the church. They show the way by example. They demonstrate that in themselves. And that example is, first of all, the example that they set for us is, first of all, that of obedience and submission themselves. If we are to follow their example and we are to obey and to submit, then we must be able to look to the office bearers for an example of obedience and submission. We look to them, first of all, for obedience and submission to the Word of God, which is really to say obedience and submission to Christ. As Christ is present and Christ rules and Christ governs and Christ leads us as our faithful Good Shepherd in the Word and through the Word of God. And certainly we refer to the preaching, but more broadly than that, the office bearers need to demonstrate that they submit to the Word of God as it's found in the Scripture, and that they even are called to look over and watch over the preaching with the Word of God, the Scripture, in their hand. They are called to submit, to obey Christ in the Word. In addition to that, not at odds with that, but in addition to that, the office bearers must show submission and obedience to the counsel of other office bearers, one another within office, but we mean now especially to the broader gatherings to which, as a congregation, we've joined ourselves and willingly submit ourselves to their good advice and instruction, that is, to classes and to synod. Look at your office bearers, beloved, for that example. How ought we to behave toward them? The question is answered by saying, how do they behave with regard to the Word of God? Do they submit to the Word of God? Do they obey Christ in the Word of God and submit to Him? Do they, have they submitted to classes and to synod? Even when they have gone to those broader gatherings, hoping at times for a different outcome, do they, by God's grace, submit to the good decisions that God gives to us through those broader gatherings? They have, of course, haven't they? Our office bearers have. They willingly have submitted to all the decisions of the broader gatherings, all the decisions, notably even of this past synod. And they are striving to be in harmony with those decisions in their preaching and in their teaching. Say that not to boast, but we say that to make great the grace of God that He has given to us and given to our leaders, to our office bearers, that we might look up to them and follow their good example, as also the Apostle Paul, unashamed of the accusation of pride, says, look at me and follow my good example. This is how it's done. Not in our nature, not easy, but this is how it's done. We submit, and we obey. Then the calling we have as members of the congregation is to follow your leaders as you see them set the pattern, as they set the example, follow their good leadership. To them also submit and obey. Well, beloved, we begin in expanding what that means to submit and obey our present office bearers with this exhortation, pray for them. Pray for them fervently. Pray for them continually. The fact is, we cannot, and we'll find we will not, be submissive to them, obedient to their good instruction. We will not follow them if we are not praying for them. Bring their needs of being good leaders and good examples. Bring their need to the Lord. Pray for them fervently. Pray for them with thanksgiving. Thank God that He's given to us the leaders that He has given to us. Pray for them, first of all. But then also, obey and submit, the text says, which literally means to yield to them. Give way to them. And even interestingly, be won over by them, which of course is something that is an active decision of our will, as we willingly place ourselves under their authority, and as we willingly mold our behavior to be that of submission and obedience, to be won over to them, to yield to them, to give way to them. And that, as they bring the word. As they bring the word. It's a reminder to the office bearers as well. We give leadership not with our own wisdom, not with our own thoughts, but we give leadership with the Word of God through the Holy Scriptures. We bring the Holy Scripture to you in our teaching and in all of our labors. And we apply the Word. And the calling then is for us as members of the congregation, hear that Word. Don't look at the office bearer in a very personal way. Don't let personal differences get in the way. Don't become involved in striving over against individual men. But look at the Word. Listen to the Word that God has given them to bring to you and submit to the Word as it's applied to you in your various circumstances. And do that, beloved, in all of their weaknesses and infirmities. The office bearers are very aware of their own weaknesses, infirmities, limitations, as no doubt are you. But that doesn't change, does it? That doesn't change the calling to follow their leadership. The Heidelberg Catechism points out to us with regard to all those in authority, meaning also all those in authority in the church, the leaders in the church, were called to bear patiently with their weaknesses and infirmities, obeying, submitting, following them, despite the fact that they are very human and even sinners. The reason is, first of all, because God called them. God has put them in their office. Not we have put them there by our vote. Nor ought we ever to say, well, I didn't vote for that man. I didn't have anything to do with it. Regardless, God put them in their office. And of course, God uses means as He always does. God uses the means of the congregational meeting, and God uses the means of individual votes. God directs those things, but it's the Lord who gives them that calling. The Lord Himself who puts them in that position of leadership and responsibility. And when we hear the calling, submit and obey them, follow them. We really hear the calling, follow God. Submit to the Lord. Obey God as He comes to you through these weak means. Not because you are inferior as a person. Of course not. We don't submit to the office bearers because somehow in themselves they are superior to us. In many ways we're aware that that's not the case. We ought to be aware of it if we're not. The fact of the matter is we submit to them and we follow them because God has placed an office upon them. And God is pleased to govern us, as again as the Catechism puts it, to govern us by their hand. They have been appointed. That's brought out in the text by the phrase that they are those who must give account. They've been appointed to this particular position as those who must answer for their labors. They're answerable to someone else. They are not the supreme authority within the church. They must give an account to the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, who has appointed them to their calling. Office bearers need to recognize also that in this fact that's brought out that they have been appointed to office, they can find also their confidence. They can trust, and we can trust as well, that they are qualified. God will give them what they stand in need of to perform the labors that God will call them to. They can be confident of that. God appoints and God qualifies those whom He appoints. The reason in the second place connected to that one is that really we ought to trust them. We ought to submit and obey them as trusting in them. Recognizing that they are called by God Himself. They are called by God Himself to watch for our souls. That's a heavy responsibility. We ought not say for a moment, unless we're to say these are very godless men. It'd be a horrible thing to say. Lest we were to say that, we ought not for a moment think they take that lightly. They're called to watch for our souls. They are those who must give an account of their work, give an account of their watching carefully over our precious souls. They must answer to Christ someday, not only someday far in the future, but really every day as they occupy that office. And someday, indeed, as they stand before Him, they must give an account as stewards In Christ's vineyard, they're called to be on the lookout, to be on the watch for things that would harm you, things that would destroy you, sin that would harm or destroy you. They're called to watch out for sin which not only may harm you individually in your life, if they see you walking in a certain way, they're called to warn you, to watch for your souls, lest sin harm or destroy you, but also that sin does not infect the congregation, that sin does not spread within the congregation. They're called to watch carefully for your souls and give an account. Trust, beloved. They take that calling very seriously. And follow them. Follow them. And trust that God will lead them, guide them. And in your following them, you follow God. You follow your Savior, Jesus Christ, the guide for you and for them, and loves both. We're commanded in this passage by God to follow our spiritual leaders. That implies that we need to be told. This is not something in our nature. This is not something that's natural to us. It's not natural to me to submit and to obey. It's not natural to your office bearers. It's not natural to you. And that's why, exactly why, God comes to us and says to us, do this now. Not, I present this as a good idea, but this is your calling. This is your requirement. Not a requirement to be saved, but this is your requirement as those whom I have redeemed, as those for whom I have given my Son, those whom I love. Now, in love for me, obey them. Don't give in to your own sinful inclinations. Fight against your old nature and submit and follow those whom I have appointed to be your leaders. Do so with a goal then of serving God, of glorifying God, and of walking in love towards God by loving your office bearers and loving your congregation. That's the last part of the verse. That they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. You know, it's very easy for us to look at office bearers and say, well, they have an important place. They have what they're set up on a pedestal, so to speak, so that we can treat them however we are pleased to do that. And that, I'm not saying, is something we do all the time or a besetting sin of our congregation. But it can be done. And God says here in the passage, think about what you're doing and how that affects those men. That they may do it with joy, not with grief. Love them. Don't bring to them grief. The word grief literally means sighing. Sighing. Well, many sighs office bearers have given in their labors. Consider that as you relate to them, as you write to them, as you speak to them, as you're visited by them. Consider that in love toward them. Follow them. Submit to them. Obey them. That they may do the work that they have, the heavy responsibility that they have, with joy and not with sighing, not with grief. But then also, beloved, not only because it's good for them and you love them, but because you love the congregation, because you love the body as a whole. Remember that we are organically connected to one another. We cannot separate ourselves out as an individual member over against the office bearers or over against the congregation as a whole. What we do, what each of us does, affects the body. See that especially as an office bearer. What individual members do in the church, bringing grief to the office bearers, affects the whole body in a myriad, a multiple different ways. It's unprofitable for you, says the Lord. It's unprofitable for you to bring sighing and grief to the office bearers meeting. It's unprofitable for you as a body and as individual members of that body. It's not good. It's not helpful. It leads to trouble. It leads to harm to the beloved body of Jesus Christ, to the bride of Christ, to the precious redeemed flock of Christ. That flock which He gave His life for. Flock, the members, the office bearers that He died for. That He endured hell for. Because He loved them that much. Follow them. That they may do their work not with grief, which is unprofitable for you, but that they may do their work with joy, serving the Lord, watching over your souls as they who must give an account. Beloved, hear the word of God and let us pray together that we may walk by God's grace in that way. Amen. Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word. Bless, encourage, strengthen us and our office bearers through the hearing of that Word. And, Lord, be with them. Uphold those men in their respective offices. Give to them all that they need, that they may be good and faithful leaders of us. And give to us the grace we need, that we may submit to them, that we may obey them, that we may follow their good example. And in that way, that we may follow Thee. We thank Thee, Father, for Thy Son, Jesus Christ, who as He promised, is still with us in the special offices as our beloved Savior who gave Himself for us. May we then love Him, love Thee, love Thy church, love our brothers in office by following them willingly and cheerfully. In Jesus' name, amen.